You should always know that this cosmic manifestation is created, maintained, and annihilated by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation is under the control of the Lord. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. Purport. Self-realization, understanding oneself as a Brahman or spirit soul, is very difficult in the material condition. However, if we accept the devotional service of the Lord will gradually reveal himself. In this way, the progressive devotee will gradually realize his spiritual position. We cannot see anything in the darkness of night, not even our own selves. But when there is sunshine, we can see not only the sun, but everything within the world as well. Lord Krishna explains in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Sakta Manaparta Yoga Yunjan Marashaya Asang Sayam Samagramam Yata Yasya Sitachanu. Now hear, O son of Pritha, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you could know me in full, free from doubt. When we engage ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord to become Krishna conscious, we understand not only Krishna, but everything related to Krishna. In other words, through Krishna consciousness, we can understand not only Krishna and the cosmic manifestation, but also our constitutional position. In Krishna consciousness, we can understand that the entire material creation is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maintained by Him, annihilated by Him, and absorbed in Him. We are also part and parcel of the Lord. Everything is under the control of the Lord. Therefore, our only duty is to surrender unto the Supreme and engage in His transcendental loving service. Translation again, you should always know that this cosmic manifestation is created, maintained, and annihilated by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation is under the control of the Lord. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. Om Gyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Unlanitam Nina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Goroti Vachalam Bangam Nangayati Gadim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatharanam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Shanyavadi Pasta Chade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Har Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Seems to me that this verse actually concludes Narada Muni's instructions to King Krishna Maharsha. And therefore seems to be appropriately summarizing everything. If you analyze this verse, everything's there. That the everything that we do culminates in rendering service to the Supreme Lord. And by rendering service to the Supreme Lord, that everything that is knowable becomes known. Which really seems to, as I said, be a summary of all the instructions that Narada Muni has given to King Prachinda Maharsha. Summary of the instructions Krishna gives to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. It's the summary of all the instructions which any acharya or knower of Krishna reveals to those who are in need of understanding this most complete knowledge. And that is that everything is revealed through devotional service to Krishna. When the speaker is speaking, just as Shukadeva Goswami, when he spoke to Maharaj Parikshit, he concluded his instructions to Maharaj Parikshit by revealing Krishna's pastimes, transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world. And although Srimad Bhagavatam gradually goes through a sequence of events, although not completely chronologically, nonetheless, it brings the attentive hearer to the conclusion that Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am his eternal servant, and my constitutional position is to render service to the Supreme Lord. Similarly, when Sanatana Goswami approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for instructions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also clearly indicated, when Sanatana Goswami asked, please tell me who am I, please tell me why do I have to suffer these threefold miseries, Lord Chaitanya began his instructions by explaining Jivera Sudupoya Krishna Nichidas, that the constitutional position of the living entity is that he's an eternal servant of Krishna. If one knows this, then, as this verse explains, everything knowable becomes known to that person. And when everything becomes knowable becomes known, then all the darkness, which was all, everything that was previously unseen in darkness, is dissipated by the light. As Prabhupada has given the analogy here about the sunshine, we cannot see anything in the darkness, not even our own selves. But when there is sunshine, we can see not only the sun, but everything within the world as well. So, really, the spiritual practitioner should be very eager to want to know Krishna. But as we know that, and is explained, that Krishna cannot be understood by mental speculation, cannot even be understood simply by studying scripture. He cannot be understood only Bhakti Mama Vajanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvata, as he told Arjuna. He said, only by rendering devotional service to me can I be understood as I am. Only then can you enter into the mysteries of understanding me. He said, not by yoga, not by Sankhya Yoga, not by giving charity, nor by austerities or penances. None of these things are adequate. Prabhupada would oftentimes quote the verse, Bhagava Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Japastapa Apanaseva Dehanam Mandanam Lokaranjanam. That for a person who is devoid of devotional service, even if he performs all kinds of severe austerities and penances, even if he's expert in all kinds of Vedic mantras, even if he's taken his birth in a great family or nation, even if he's simply by studying the Vedas, all of these things are simply like ornaments on a dead body. In other words, they're not ornaments on the dead body are useless. They don't serve any purpose. One can easily understand that analogy. One doesn't have to really be very highly spiritually elevated to know that what is the value of an ornament on a dead body. So, in the same way, what is the value of all of these things? Great birth, birth in a great family or nation, or what is the value of, knowing Vedic mantras, if you haven't come to the conclusion that this, that the goal of everything that you have within your possession and any knowledge that you have, the goal is to love Krishna and to serve him. That's the goal. And when one understands that as the goal, just as Narada Muni is here concluding his instructions to King Prachinda Paharishad by giving him the final summary. This is the goal. When you know Krishna, then not only does everything else know will become known, but then simply by knowing Krishna, you can actually love him. To know me is to love me. Or Krishna says, Aham Savasya Pavavu Mataksavam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajatemam Buddha Bhava Samanvata. I'm the source of the material spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly, they love me. They engage in my devotional service and worship me with all of their hearts. It's just. And then at that stage, then you, the devotee becomes so perfect in his knowledge of Krishna that not only does he know Krishna, not only does he know everything else, not only does he know himself, but he has the topmost knowledge, because by knowing Krishna, he doesn't have to think of anything else. It's like there's different stages of knowledge. We oftentimes give this example, the ways to obtain knowledge. First stage of knowledge is called pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means to know by using our sense perception. But that, it's defective knowledge. That's not transcendental knowledge. That just means what I see, that's, you know, what I hear. Of course, hearing, if it's shabda, it's a little bit different. But we're not talking about shabda. We're just talking about ordinary knowledge. So, knowledge by sense perception is the first platform by which one obtains knowledge. And then there's second stage is what's paroksha. Paroksha is the higher stage. Is one receives knowledge by being hearing from somebody, instructing from somebody who knows. But still, that may not be transcendental. It's like we go to the school, we go to the university. If we want knowledge, we study the books. The books are there, written by various authors who are knowledgeable on the particular subject that they've written about, and those books are therefore presented by supposedly a professor who's knowledgeable about the contents of the book, and therefore they speak about that subject, and the student sits in the class and he hears, and therefore he obtains knowledge through hearing. So, first is pratyaksha, sense perception. Then there's through hearing, because the sense perception, as we know, is maybe deficient. It's not an accurate way for obtaining knowledge, because the senses are imperfect. So then, of course, those who have gained knowledge by some other means, by scholarly means, or by performance of scientific experiments or whatever it may be, they may draw certain conclusions by their experimentation, and they may say, here, this is what you get when you put these two elements together. We've gone through it, we performed the experiment, now you see for yourself. So that's another way to obtain knowledge, from hearing from those who know. But still, that has no connection with transcendence. Beyond this, paroksha is aparoksha. Aparoksha is actually knowledge which comes from Brahman realization. It's that knowledge which comes through the study of Vedanta, performing sacrifices and performing austerities, by engaging in mental speculation and pursuit of knowledge, wanting to know what is the topmost knowledge, but still not approaching it in the proper way. One, through severe austerities and penances, may achieve some platform of knowledge whereby he realizes the oneness of the totality of this cosmic manifestation, and therefore they perceive it as Brahman, or the impersonal aspect of the Lord, how everything is They see everything as one. They don't see it as the energy of the Lord. They think that's the Lord. Total oneness. If they saw it as the energy of the Lord, then they would know that behind the energies is the energetic source. But they're still deficient. They don't know that there is the energy and then there's the energetic source. So due to their deficient knowledge, that's what they get, that Brahman realization, which is incomplete. But that knowledge, of course, Prabhupada speaks about here, understanding oneself as Brahman or spirit soul is very difficult in this material condition. He says, however, if we accept the devotional service of the Lord will gradually reveal himself. So in other words, one will be able to go beyond that stage of Brahman and actually understand who is part of Brahman. So the next stage beyond this aparoksha is called adhoksaja. And in this platform of knowledge of adhoksaja, this is the knowledge of the variety of the spiritual world. It's the different planets in Vaikuntha, and this knowledge is not achieved simply by mental speculation, but this knowledge is, we cannot demand for it to be revealed to us in any way. We have to become qualified by dint not only of austerities, but by dint of service to actually have that transcendental spiritual realm revealed to us. And then when that's revealed, then however it is revealed to us, then we are allowed access to enter gradually, even at the end of this life, to enter into the spiritual transcendental Vaikuntha atmosphere of the planets of the Vaikuntha, within the Vaikuntha sky. So that's called adhoksaja. But that's not the top most. There's even more than that. It's the fifth stage of knowledge, which is beyond adhoksaja, is described as jnana sunya bhakti. And jnana sunya bhakti means, if anyone knows a little bit about Sanskrit, jnana means what? What, sunya? Sunya? Void. Yeah, sunya. Like the sunyavadis, the voidists. Right? Jnana sunya bhakti means to be devoid of knowledge. And that's the topmost platform of knowledge. Now, some may say, what is that? Jnana sunya bhakti is when one doesn't even know that Krishna is God. Because in the Vaikuntha planets, that awe and reverence is there. They know in the Vaikuntha planets, the Supreme Lord is the supreme worshipable deity of every one of the planets, and everyone there has, you know, either a particular, there is, it's manifest, its opulence is the opulence of the spiritual world in the Vaikuntha. And the Lord is the predominating deity of each planet, and they're all the residents either have the same form of the Lord, they have the forearm form of the Lord, they live in great palaces and opulence, and everybody knows that, you know, the Lord is the predominator of each and every one of those Vaikuntha planets in whatever particular form he may manifest in those planets. But in Jnana Sunya Bhakti is the platform where the devotee is devoid of even knowledge of the Lord's greatness, devoid of the knowledge of the Lord's opulences, devoid even of the knowledge of themselves. They don't even know. Those persons who are on the platform of Jnana Sunya Bhakti, they don't even know that they are the greatest beings in the entire creation. They don't even know. They don't think of their own happiness. They don't think of themselves. They don't even think of themselves. They don't even know. All they know is Krishna. That's it. And if you try to tell them that who Krishna is, If somebody comes in with knowledge of Krishna, like Uddhava, when he tried to tell Nanda Maharaj, when he came to Vrindavan and tried to tell Nanda Maharaj, why are you lamenting? Don't you know your son is God? And Nanda Maharaj said, what are you telling me? Who do you take me for? How can you say my... What, you even put me in more misery by making a statement like that. My son, when he comes to me in the morning, he carries my shoes on his head. How can God carry my shoes on his head? That's my son. How can you tell me that he's the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Being? In other words, Uddhava was trying to, because Nanda Maharaj was actually experiencing great ecstatic love and separation of Krishna. And, because Krishna was, of course, always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, everywhere Nanda Maharaj would go, he would simply be situated in the highest ecstasy, although it appears externally to be lamentation. Such lamentation of separation from Krishna is actually the highest form of love of Krishna, because all the devotee knows is Krishna. Wherever he goes, he even told Uddhava, he said, don't you know, when I go out into the forests, my son, he left me. Everywhere I look, I simply see him. Doesn't even know he left. He went someplace else, but does he know how much we're suffering? Why doesn't he come here? Why does he come and see us? But he doesn't. Doesn't he know we're his parents? This is how they think. Krishna's my son. That's all they know. And if you try to say anything else or suggest anything else to Nanda Maharaj, he just can't hear of anything else, because that's all he knows. And that's how Krishna reveals himself to his devotees. He reveals himself according to their loving sentiment. And there, because he reveals himself according to their loving sentiment, it's not possible for them to even think that this could possibly be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even when Mother Jasoda was looking within Krishna's mouth to see if he'd eaten some dirt, and she looked in and she saw the entire cosmic manifestation, she saw the universal form, and then she saw herself sitting and holding Krishna on her lap inside of his mouth. She started to think for a moment, who is this? And then Krishna immediately, no, don't think like that, Mother. Immediately, then she's just holding her son, and that's all she wanted to know. This is Krishna, my son. When Krishna's coming in from the pasturing grounds, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his Raghavatma Chandrika that the devotees who are have such intense love for Krishna, like Mother Jasoda, and she says that just like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that when the son may be the president of a great nation, but even though the son is the president of the great nation, the mother always thinks, this is my son. That's all. He may be great president, but he's my son. So sometimes it's this Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that when Krishna is returning from the pasturing grounds with all of his friends, the demigods are showering flowers on Krishna as he's coming home. Now the demigods are showering flowers because they know that this is Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Mother Jasoda, she sees it. She says, oh, just see how wonderful my son is. My son is so wonderful, the demigods are showering flowers upon him. But she doesn't in any way get disturbed to think that, this is God, what am I doing? She doesn't get any kind of a knee-jerk reaction. Like when Krishna's cowherd boyfriends jump on his back, when he's playing with him, they don't. And somebody says, "Hey, what are you doing? Don't you know that's God?" That's not theirs. Jnana sunya. They have no knowledge. No knowledge. All they know is they love Krishna. And Krishna, all he knows is he loves his devotees. Right? He says that. He told that to Durvasa Muni. The devotee only thinks of me. I don't even think of him. That's all. Because the devotee loves me so much. How can I not love him? So therefore, by loving him, I reciprocate in whatever way they want to serve me. I reciprocate. They want to be my friend. They want to be my parent. They want to be my lover. Okay. That's who I am. And they don't know anything else beyond that. That for them, for the devotee, knowing Krishna means you know everything. You don't need to know anything else. You don't need to think of, you know, who's going to take care of me, who's going to... Everything becomes revealed because, as Prabhupada explains right here, he says, however we accept devotional service of the Lord gradually reveals himself. In this way, the progressive devotee will gradually realize his spiritual position. Progressively realize his spiritual position. But to progressively realize the spiritual position doesn't come simply by studying the Vedas. It doesn't come by mental speculation. It doesn't become by any other artificial process which cannot, you know, by which one can come to know Krishna, because Krishna very clearly states, you know, if you want to know me, you have to serve me. And the best way to serve Krishna, of course, is with one's, not only one's body, but one's, with one's mind and with one's words. Krishna is so pleased by the service rendered by those devotees who always think of him constantly. He considers that to be the greatest service. Simply constantly thinking of him, because Krishna says, if you always think of me, I always think of you. Therefore, we should be very, very careful to not neglect the actual goal of all service rendered. If we neglect what is the goal of the service rendered, it's like, you know, it's one of the obstacles of devotional service, to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, to completely forget who's it meant for. It's not meant simply to follow the rules and regulations to become peaceful, to become happy ourselves. Everything that we do is meant to please Krishna. And if we simply become ritualistic in the execution of service, in the name of service, and think that service means to use the body, but to neglect the thoughts, the object of who's being served, then how will Krishna ever become pleased by that service rendered? Service has to be rendered with the mind favorably. This is what Rupa Goswami has given in his instructions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Not Savapati Vinaya Bhaktam? Huh? Anyabalasita Sunam, Ganaka Maninavitam, Anapulyena Krishnana Shilnam Bhakti Rutama. That devotional service is devoid from mental speculation, it's devoid from fruitive activity, and it must be rendered favorably. Favorably, with Krishna in mind. What for Krishna's pleasure? To serve Krishna as Krishna desires, not as we desire to serve Krishna. That may come at some very elevated stage when you want to be Krishna's friend or you want to be Krishna's lover. But if you want to try to get there without becoming first obedient to Krishna, forget it. You can't get there without first being obedient to Krishna. Prabhupada, one time in a morning walk, he actually said that. He was asking his disciples, what is the symptom of love for Krishna? And the devotees were all saying, this, that. Prabhupada, no. And then Prabhupada put his cane down and said, no, first there must be obedience. How can you love without being obedient? So first is obedience. And that is the first symptom. But then, by becoming obedient, means that, oh, yeah, I'm doing this because Krishna said I should do it. Therefore, Tasmat Saveshu Kaleshu Mama Nuspara Yujita Mayapata Manobudya Kam Mame Shang Shaya Shashiya. It's a verse Shadweta Maharaj gave class on one night this week. I can't remember where it was. Huh? Was it in Rohinanda's house? Right? Krishna says to Arjuna, you should perform your prescribed duties of fighting, but at the same time think of me. With your activities dedicated to me, with your mind intelligence fixed on me, surely you'll come to me. to the mind, favorably, as Krishna desires. That's devotional service. Not as I desire, what's convenient for me, what will make me happy. Krishna's, you know, if we think that, oh, Krishna's on the altar and, you know, I can go whenever I want, do whatever I want, it's not so important. How will you ever get devotional service? It won't come. If we're not thinking of Krishna's pleasure, it won't come. So therefore, devotional service, which really accelerates the devotee's progress in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says progressive. If we're not wondering why we're not progressing, then the mind might not be there. Maybe just simply physical, but progressing means favorably, as Krishna desires. That's progressive devotional service. And if we don't know what Krishna desires, then our primary duty in life is to find out what Krishna desires. Because without doing what Krishna desires, how can we ever make advancements in devotional service? Therefore, this verse, as we said, it's the summary of all Narada Muni's instructions to King Prachinabharishat. He summarized everything. Stop thinking of fruitive activities. Start thinking about how to counteract your fruitive sacrifices by, you know, so that you don't have to suffer. And start thinking about Krishna and engage in hearing about Krishna, rendering service to Krishna, and this way you don't have to think about anything else. Krishna will take care of the rest. He'll take care of Ananyas Chintaya Tomam Yajana Payupashante Tesham Nityabu Yuktanam Yoga Kshema Vahamyaham. To those who are serving me, dedicating themselves to me, with their mind fixed on me, Krishna says that whatever you have, I'll keep for you, or whatever you lack, I'll kick in the rest. I'll take care of it. I'll cover whatever you're missing. We need that. Because if we try to do it ourselves, if we try to think that, or if we think that we can achieve devotional service, like sometimes people even say, I have to decide what service I want. No, service comes down. We don't make a decision of what service I want. If we actually have a desire to serve, then Krishna will make the arrangement and provide us a service. It comes. This is how devotional service descends. It comes from Krishna. First thing is to want to serve. And that's why we chant Hare Krishna. Krishna, please engage me in your service. That's the first thing. Preliminary, it's the beginning, the middle, and the end. So when a devotee has a sincere desire to serve, then Krishna will actually give it the facility. He'll manifest. He'll speak through some Vaishnava, or he'll speak to somebody. And Krishna will reveal himself in some other way to the devotee who sincerely prays, this is how I want you to serve me. Because unless the service is favorable for Krishna's pleasure, as soon as we think it's convenient for me, then this is not progressive devotional service. So, therefore, engaging in devotional service is the means and it's the end. And if we actually engage in devotional service with the proper consciousness and attitude that Jivira Surupoya Krishna Nichidas, I am a servant of Krishna, my duty in life is simply to render service for his pleasure. That is all. How can I obtain that? That should be the eagerness of a devotee. How can I obtain that service? That is the meaning of life, without which everything else is simply a waste of time. Without which, whatever knowledge we have will remain always incomplete. And without which, we can never know Krishna. Even for millions of years, we may speculate and never know. Because only when the sun reveals itself in the morning can we see everything else that was hidden in the darkness and see ourselves. Similarly, only when Krishna reveals himself to his devotee by their sincere devotional service can we actually know who we are and who is Krishna and what is my relationship with him. This is the summum substance. This is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore we see that whenever there's any instruction given by the Acharyas, they always summarize and give us the essence. This is it. Not only did Narada Muni summarize the essence for King Puchini Maharsha, that rendering service favorably for Krishna is the goal, but Srila Prabhupada also took advantage of Narada's instructions in his purport and gave us a little bit more detail in that summary. Everything is under the control of the Lord, and therefore our only duty is to surrender unto the Supreme and engage in this transcendental loving service. Hare Krishna. This is the concluding verse of Narada Muni's instructions to King Pujana Bhaiyashad. It's also my concluding words because I have to end here and I have to get ready to go take care of other matters. I have a schedule today. Any quick question? Quick one, please. If it's quick, I can answer. Yes.
So the what causes Nanda Maharaj to, is that Yoga Maya that influences them to not?
Yes, it is Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya is what covers the devotee, so the devotee who doesn't think that Krishna is God. She very wonderfully serves and assists the Lord in his pastimes in this way. So, but she manifests in this world in the form of Mahamaya, which takes us away from Krishna, and Yoga Maya brings us closer to Krishna. More intensely closer.
So the process to get to that platform where Yoga Maya covers us over, for those who are in this material world, we have to start out with
obedience.
Yeah, well, okay. But understanding that Krishna is God, and then somehow after some time, we may get that.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought I said.
Well, just saying, you start out with that. In the spiritual world, they're never thinking Krishna is God.
Yeah, but for the devotee who develops an attraction to hearing about the devotional service rendered by the devotees in Goloka Vrindavan, then they actually become attracted to hearing about the service rendered by those devotees, and they become attracted to developing the same mood that they have. Not that they think they're that the devotee, but they become attracted to their mood of service. And therefore, by becoming attracted to that mood of service, they follow in the footsteps of those devotees. Certainly we understand Krishna is God, but the more we hear about their spontaneous loving devotional service, the more the desire to render spontaneous loving devotional service awakens in the heart of that living being. And that's how that spontaneous desire is gradually awakened within the heart, where we become so absorbed in the devotees who serve Krishna and their mood of service to Krishna that they bestow their blessing upon us and they actually allow us to enter into understanding their mood of service to Krishna as well. Right? So, but that comes through hearing. That comes through hearing and, of course, in serving.
So, can you be in this material world like a devotee and just be covered by Yoga Maya, not knowing Krishna's God?
Yes. Well, it's explained. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in his Raghavatma Chandrika. He explains that how the Lord is both Mugda, he's bewildered, and Sarvagya, he's all-knowing. He says both these qualities manifest him simultaneously, and he explained that he's Mugda, he's bewildered. He's bewildered because the devotee's love is so powerful that Krishna even forgets himself. It's so powerful, and he gives the example. He says, just like when a bee enters into a lotus flower, the lotus flower closes at night and the bee comes trapped. And when a bee is trapped in that lotus flower, the bee doesn't care because there's so much nectar in there. So in the same way, Krishna becomes trapped in the hearts of his devotee because it's filled with so much love for him. He doesn't care doesn't care. He just loves them. But let me explain. Go on. And therefore, that's a manifestation of Krishna's mugda, that he's bewildered. When Mother Jasoda was chastising Krishna, Krishna was crying genuine tears. He was afraid. He was bewildered by his mother. And that's why Queen Kunti, when she saw Krishna having genuine tears and was genuinely crying, she was saying, this is bewildering. Because she was thinking, this is God. If he was just pretending, it would all make sense. But he wasn't pretending. And therefore, she was bewildered. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this manifestation of mugda is there, but if you simply say he's simply mugda, then what's going to happen when all the devotees throughout the entire creation who serve the Lord in a similar mood and they're offering prayers, how is he going to hear them if he's too bewildered? He has to be conscious. He has to be all-knowing. Because there are devotees throughout creation, throughout the entire creation, who are serving Krishna in a similar mood as these devotees. So Krishna has to also be simultaneously all-knowing so he can reciprocate with them in their hearts too. And therefore hear their prayers and hear their mood and their desires. So yes, there are devotees, although they are rare. There are devotees. And therefore, Rupa Goswami quotes that verse, Iha yasya hare adasya kamana manasagira nikalavap yavasta so jivan mukti so uchite. That for anyone who's engaged in devotional service with his body, his mind, and his words, he's already liberated soul even while within this material world. Fully engaged in devotional service, even while within this material world. So there are rare souls. But that's the Shastric reference to explain how he exists from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Are you bewildered? Favorably or unfavorably? Okay. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.